Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This will have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst, and I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. You're listening to a podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 196, and I'm recording this on August 26th, 2009. Well, we've been back in school for about a week and a half, and I'm actually coming to you today during my planning period. It's always kind of interesting how your planning period comes throughout the day. This is actually first period, and it's always kind of odd to have a first period plan. I have in the past, I can't remember exactly how many years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, but it's always odd kind of having a first period plan because I never want to procrastinate too much and say that I'll just leave stuff and then do it first period, because something always seems to pop up and you're planning on finishing getting things ready for an activity, then all of a sudden you have some kind of meeting comes up or some kind of activity, and then suddenly you're behind. So I try and do everything that I can ahead of time so that when I come into class first period and I have my plan, I can just kind of not really relax, but kind of get together an activity maybe for like a couple of days down the road, but I never want to leave stuff for right before we come in. And then we actually have a blended block schedule here at South Valley Junior High, so today is our first day of block, and so in addition to it being first period plan, it is a first period plan block. So I have basically a 90-minute period, and this will usually happen about once a week, and so I thought that during the school year this might be a good opportunity to kind of sit down and reflect a little bit, talk about some of the things we're doing in our classroom. I'm on Twitter at E. Langhorst, and on Twitter I typically post a tweet in the morning saying today in class, and then we'll talk about what we're doing in class. And it seems like recently I've had some people ask some ideas or actually request that I possibly podcast about some of the stuff we're doing in class, and that's actually a really good idea. So I'm going to try and kind of make this a routine. I don't know if I'll be able to do it every Wednesday, but when I do have a block period that's a planned period like this, I thought it'd be neat to spend about 20 minutes of it just kind of reflecting on an activity or something that really worked in my classroom, and then being able to put that up on the blog. So, as always, our blog is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Well, like I said, we've been in school for about a week and a half, and today I wanted to talk about an activity that might work for you at the beginning of the school year if you're a history teacher. I recently attended the Project Zero Classroom Workshop at Harvard, and they really focus a lot on the multiple intelligences and some different routines that you can do to kind of bring the arts and visual things, music, the humanities really kind of to life in your classroom. And one of the breakout sessions we had was with Mary McFarlane, who's a past NCSS president, and she had a great idea and told us about some things that she does with visual cues and pictures, and we talked about doing a visual timeline. And so as soon as we did it, and this was back late July, like last week of July, I knew that I wanted to do this as an opening activity with my classroom. So I did prepare it, and I did it with my class just a couple days ago, and I just wanted to kind of share that with you. It might be something that's kind of cool to do towards the beginning of the year, and then I'll also explain that I want to do it towards the end of the year as well. All right, so what I did was I took our curriculum, and I teach American history from the beginning of the colonies, kind of the foundation of the Revolutionary War, all the way through the end of the Civil War. So I don't have a huge time period, which is kind of nice because we can focus in on some of those things. And I looked at our curriculum, and I decided on about 40 items or events that I thought would be the most important throughout the school year. And I took those 40 events, and then I found an image that would go through each of them. So I created this as a PowerPoint slide, and I put all the different events up. For example, the Boston Massacre, or the Emancipation Proclamation, or Strandard Appomattox, the things that are typically the highlight items in our curriculum. And I made a PowerPoint slide for each of those, and I found a picture that would correspond. And then down in the bottom, I just put a little date. And I did that basically for my purposes, so I could make sure that I knew exact dates on all these events. And then I made a second copy of that, and on the second copy, I made that date on the bottom just completely white. I made the text white. So it's still there, but when I printed it off, you couldn't see the date on the bottom. So I have 42, I've actually selected 42 different events, and I then printed them off, and then I put them in the clear plastic sheets, like the top-loading sheets. I thought they'd be a little bit more durable. I wanted to use them throughout the day with six different classes, so I put them in those plastic sheets. And then I told my students when they came in that we're going to create a visual timeline. And typically my classrooms this year have between about 25 and 30 students. So I would give each student at least one. Most of them got two sheets. And I told them we're going to create a visual timeline. And again, they don't have the dates on the bottom. They just have the name. So it like says Declaration of Independence and then a picture that represents the Declaration of Independence. And the first period, we went outside and we took our sidewalk that's outside of our building. And I told the students that I wanted them to work together and collaborate and decide where each of those events went on the timeline. And it's kind of a neat activity to do outside. It was very cool in the morning that particular day. It was nice. There was no wind first period, so we went outside, laid them all down. And I typically gave the students about like maybe 7 to 10 minutes to talk and debate a little bit and then lay them out on the sidewalk. And then after that, I went through and told them the correct order. And so they then physically moved the ones that were in the incorrect places. And I tried to kind of give them hints when they were doing it. So like a student might come up and say, you know, I'm not really sure if this is a Civil War battle or a Revolutionary War battle. And so I'd give them a little bit of a hint. And then they'd lay them down, we'd talk about it as a class, and then we'd put them in the correct order. And it was kind of neat because the students could visually see basically everything that we're going to cover throughout the school year. And I told them that at the end of the school year, the last week, we're going to do the same activity because they found it very challenging. You know, some students weren't exactly sure of when some of these things happened. And, you know, obviously with the timeline, if you're off on a couple things, it really kind of messes up the flow of some of the other items. But I told them that we want to do this again the last week of school, and that I bet by the time we do it at the end of the school year, that if they work together as a class, you know, they probably will only miss, hopefully, maybe one or two items on that timeline and not have them in the correct chronological order. So it's kind of a neat activity. I'm doing this with my eighth graders. If you wanted to kind of speed it up a little bit and kind of make it more of a I don't know, I guess it'd still be a learning activity, but if you wanted them to kind of do it faster and maybe do it more in more of the correct form the first time, if you put the dates on the bottom and actually left them, it would still encourage the students to talk to each other and try and figure out exactly when those events happened. So I don't think it'd necessarily be a bad thing to have the dates on the bottom. If I was doing it again next year from scratch, I think I might actually do that. And again, it's going to take a little bit of the challenge out. You won't have as much time probably to discuss kind of why things happened in that order like I did this time, because I actually went through and explained kind of how each of those events was connected to each other. But I would maybe do it with the dates and just make it a little bit faster as far as letting them line it up. And then they also feel a little bit more success by actually having it correct the first time. I think some students were a little bit intimidated that, you know, wow, these are the 42 things that we're basically going to cover this year, and I don't know what many of these items are. So however you want to approach it, but a couple different ways. I have taken the PowerPoint, and if you want to use it, you can download it and adapt it to whatever you do. Again, I imagine that, you know, everybody's curriculum is a little bit different on what you cover, but if you studied exactly the same time frame, you know, you can use my PowerPoint if you want. And then I also took the PowerPoint and printed it off, and we have a very long bulletin board above our lockers just outside my door. And so I took the PowerPoints and I printed them off as slides, and then I just made a timeline, a visual timeline outside my door, and then I snapped a couple pictures of the students doing the activity, kind of interplaced some of those pictures of the students, and then I also put some famous quotes about history, and it's kind of a neat beginning of the year long bulletin board to kind of have some visuals of some of the things we're going to study, and some pictures of the kids kind of doing a fun activity, and they enjoyed it. Again, some of my classes with 30 students, it was kind of hard to keep everybody really focused on one thing for about 30 minutes. We did go outside the first period, and again, it was beautiful, calm, very cool. We did it the second period outside, and it was a little bit windy, and I wasn't planning on that. So once the students had the sheets laid down, it got a little bit windy, and then they had to kind of, you know, chase them down. So then we put some rocks from some of the landscaping on top of each of the sheets. But then I decided that that was a little bit, you know, anytime you have eighth graders and, you know, you're carrying around 30 rocks and stuff the first day of school, that's a little bit odd. So the last couple periods of the day, we did it in our commons area in the hallway, kind of away from the classrooms where our lunchroom is at. And it did work, you know, really well there as well. Just make sure that you have a really long hallway, because once you have about 50 sheets of paper laid out, it does take up quite a bit of space. So it was a cool activity. Again, it was kind of a visual way for students to see what we're going to be studying this year. You could do it also without any titles. So, for example, maybe you just have a picture. So maybe you just have a picture of the Declaration of Independence. Maybe you just have a picture of Lincoln. You know, and if you just had a picture of Lincoln, there's a lot of different things you could portray Lincoln as. It could be the start of the Lincoln presidency, the, you know, beginning of the Civil War, his assassination. So it might be a little bit more challenging if you did that. If you had high school students, that might be something neat to do, because I think it would kind of start some discussions on, you know, who is this person, why are they in this particular spot, and maybe you do this with less items as well. You know, I had 40. I was thinking that if I had about 30 students, that'd be enough to get everybody engaged in at least one, a lot of students possibly engaged in two different slides. But maybe you do it with 10, maybe you do it with 20, maybe you do it with local history, maybe you do it with world history. So it's kind of a fun activity. I would do it again. I plan on doing it again next year, and like I said, I do plan on doing it at the end of the school year. So if this is something you might use in class, or you know, maybe you're looking at this activity and you've done something similar, or maybe you're listening and you think, hey, you know, maybe you could kind of tweak it and do this variation, I would love to hear your comments. You can leave a comment on the blog, again, at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Would love to hear any suggestions. And again, I'm going to try and do this on most Wednesdays and then hopefully post in the next couple days after that. So hopefully we'll kind of get on a regular schedule. There's a lot of stuff I want to share. Right now I'm working on my doctorate as well, and that's kind of taken up a lot of time that I had not planned on. I mean, I knew that my doctorate was going to take time, but podcasting is something that I really enjoy doing kind of as it's a reflection tool for me, but it's also relaxing. I feel that I enjoy speaking about some of the stuff that we're doing in class. So it's something that I want to do. It's just that lately it's been a little bit tough with some of the schedule. So I'm going to try and get on track here and use some of the planning time that I have. And I think that it's a good way for me to reflect as a teacher on what works, and hopefully get some great ideas from you that are listening as well. So would love any comments, and just let me know. You can also email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. All right, well, until next time, remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome. You can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.